This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, about an hour from now, we will be talking with Heidi Watney, who is with Apple TV. Apple TV Plus carrying the Astros game tonight against the Mets at Minute Maid. 7 o'clock start. She's a sideline reporter for the broadcast tonight. She joined us last year. She's great. She's a lot of fun. So we'll talk with her about the Astros, about Apple TV, what changes or advancements have they made in their coverage. The streaming thing with sports is getting to be a really, really big deal. So we'll talk about that with Heidi Watney in about an hour from now. But right now, we've played this game the last 2 days, and it's gotten tremendous feedback from all of you who have texted in on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, that you really enjoy playing along with us in your cars or at your desk, wherever you may be. And this game is the founder of this game is Pope Zaza, Seth Payne. We use the anonymous quotes from scouts, from Bob McGinn, who has made a really nice cottage industry of collecting these quotes from anonymous scouts. He's a writer from up in Wisconsin who, if you've been listening in the last few days, we've used a lot of his stuff. It's really good stuff this time of year. Seth reads anonymous scouting quotes on current or former Texans draftees, and then I have to guess which one he is talking about.
Yeah, and I, this morning, you know what? Maybe we'll find it. Okay, there's one specific player I've been looking for, but the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where Bob McGinn used to write for, and he did a lot of this stuff. They must have had budget cuts or anything because they don't have archives on a lot of things.
They can't afford disk space.
It'll show up in the search. I really wanted J.J. Watts because he's in Wisconsin.
From up there,
I can find it at some point. At some point, we'll do this later, maybe next year, and we'll get a J.J. Watt one.
Yep.
And I'll sprinkle it in there.
All right.
It's getting tougher because now, by process of elimination, and with your vast powers of deductive reasoning, you can eliminate people from the pool.
Yes.
So it's going to be a lot harder for our listeners who haven't heard all these segments because they don't know which ones we've done already.
That's fair.
So give yourself a little bit of a leeway, those of you who are playing at home.
I'll give them leeway, and I will not do the thing that I would be just to show off. I almost did yesterday with one of the players where I just jump in while you're talking. Like the very first thing you said, I knew who it was. I'll let it marinate and play out and let people play along, you know?
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. All right. This is a Texans draft pick.
Yep.
Who played offensive line. Maybe the highest ceiling of all the offensive linemen, said one scout. Arguably, This one's tricky. Oh, boy. I just really... Okay,
it's okay. This is the easy one. This is the first one.
This is somebody that we've already had. I'm just realizing
okay.
now. So maybe the highest ceiling of all the offensive linemen, can play both tackles, and I could see him playing guard. He's a good athlete, has nice feet. I'd really like to work with him, but I don't understand why he was playing right tackle and not left tackle.
Okay, this has to be Blake Fisher, right?
No, it's Titus Howard.
It's Titus Howard? Okay.
Yes. Yep.
Got it wrong, and we've had it already.
No. I put it in there because the first time I screwed it up and included that he was a small school prospect.
Oh,
so that was the one that, yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
I don't know if we've done Fisher yet or not. I think we did do Fisher,
but yeah. Okay, so now let's open it up to everybody then because I can't even remember who we've done and who we haven't.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right. This one, boy, I had to omit a couple.
I'm 0 for 1 on one that I've done already. That's terrible.
I had to omit some really obvious ones with this next one.
Okay.
This is a Texans draft pick at wide receiver. Sometime in the last 10 years.
Down, and I've got the list of draftees in front of me. For those who don't, you know, those who are listening on the radio, that is the one thing. Seth has allowed me to at least have the list of players they've drafted at these positions. Go ahead.
All right. He's an inside, outside, X or Z slot, X or Z or slot. He can do it all.
That's it?
Did interviews at the combine. Okay. Expects to be cleared medically.
Okay.
He's a possession receiver, but he's quick.
Yeah.
Runs good routes.
Yep.
Doesn't have top speed or explosion. We won't find out his speed now. More of a chain mover.
You don't need to say anything else. Once you said there was an injury, that was the giveaway. But I was going to guess this guy anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that is John Metchie III.
That is Jonathan Metchie III.
John Metchie III. Yes. Now, when you at first, the very first part of that description, I was wavering between John Metchie and Tank Dell. When you're talking about he can play multiple positions.
Yeah.
He didn't do
Tank Dell a couple years ago. He wasn't on his list of top receivers. The disrespect.
The very disrespect.
The disrespect they show our wide receivers.
Yeah.
I won't stand for it.
Yeah.
The stuff I didn't include from John Metchie.
Yeah, yeah.
Born in Taiwan, grew up in Africa, and now living in Canada.
Yeah, that's good editing by you right there.
That might have been a little too narrow.
Yeah, yep.
The other parts of that, good football player, I don't know how you can take him that high.
Mm-hmm.
And in parentheses, it says the first round. So, I don't. Was John Metchie projected as a guy that might go at the back end of the first round?
Maybe before the ACL. I mean, he ended up getting taken 44th overall, which he's not played to that level. Metchie, I think he's going to be around the NFL for a while. But he's not played to the level of the 44th overall pick. Maybe he will this year. It's already his contract year. That's how fast that's flown by.
It is.
Yeah.
Man.
All right. Who's next? Who you got now? One for two so far. How are y'all doing in your cars right now? Text in.
Let's go here. I had to delete a couple guys because I realized we just... Okay, here we go.
Okay.
This is a Texans defensive back taken sometime in the last couple years.
Okay.
Is he a true safety or a true corner?
Hmm.
There will be a division there. He has the most talent of maybe anybody in this thing.
Wow.
I'll roll the dice and say he'll be a solid starter. I really like him. He's a high-risk, high-reward player.
Okay. All right. Now, that you said it was recent.
Within the last 10 years.
Within the last 10 years. Okay, when you said recent, I immediately thought Kalen Bullock, but I'm going to say... This is Lonnie Johnson Jr. that you're talking about.
No, it wasn't, but that was a good guess.
Yeah.
That's a good guess. It was Kalen Bullock.
It was Kalen Bullock. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The part about him not playing safety or true corner was... Lonnie Johnson, people... I mean, the Texans thought he was a true corner.
Yeah.
For annoyingly long.
Yes.
Remember?
Now he's a safety.
Lonnie Johnson. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And now he's a safety.
Yep.
And he's built like a safety. He's just a huge guy.
I got that one wrong, but I don't feel bad about it.
Other things about Kalen Bullock, I really like him. He's a high-risk, high-reward player. He's got to clean up some of the tackling, but he's a really good athlete and has unique ball skills.
That's spot on.
Somebody else said, we think he's a third-round corner. He's not strong, really inconsistent as a tackler. He makes some business decisions as a tackler. We haven't seen that out of him at all.
No. He needs to improve.
Reckless. Yeah, he needs to improve, but I think he's pretty reckless, if anything, when he goes in there. I don't think he's making business decisions.
When we sit here and talk about guys, I think it's an easy filter with this team. Like, is the guy swarmy or not swarmy?
Yeah.
There's never been one point during the season where we've thought, boy, Kalen Bullock, I don't know. I mean, he needs to be a little swarmy. Or, like, if anything, he's a little overzealous sometimes.
I forgot this about him.
Yeah.
His 8 reps on the bench were the fewest by any safety.
Okay.
That's a low number of reps.
It is.
For 225, yeah. His skinny legs are the most noticeable thing about him.
Yeah.
But this person goes on to say he's very thin, which doesn't bode well. He's a middle field. He's a middle of the field safety. Doesn't see route combinations real fast, which means he's in the trouble zone. Gets out of position too easy. We very much saw that early in the season. I think it's one of the things he improved on a lot by the end of the season.
I think the top 3 guys the Texans took in that draft last year, Lassiter at 42, Fisher at 59, I think it was, and then Kalen Bullock in the 3rd round. I think if you redrafted that draft, I think Lassiter's a first rounder. I think Bullock's probably a late first or early second. And I think Fisher, just based on potential, probably goes about where he went in the first go round. I don't think he's a third rounder all of a sudden. He started a bunch of games, did some good, did some bad. Those are 3 really good picks. And Kalen Bullock definitely doesn't make it to the 3rd round in a redraft.
Dude, he wrote a damn novella on Kalen Bullock here. This is because there were some serious Kalen Bullock haters on here.
Yeah.
This might be evidence of being in the right environment, because USC, not necessarily known for its bone-rattling football as
Lincoln
of late.
Riley, not swarmy.
Yeah. So that's where multiple different scouts said, here's another one, he's not a physical guy, he will turn it down. There's a lot of reasons why that USC defense was so bad. A 190-pound safety that's 6'3 has got to be one of the reasons. And
that
I don't,
sucks
again,
for him,
I think,
man.
Yeah, he needs to improve on his tackling, but I didn't see a lack of willingness of physicality. Let me know on the text line if maybe I've got a blind spot for him, because I didn't see a lack of willingness to make plays as one of the issues.
That is a lazy narrative right there, that you're taking the fact that he played on a defense that was overall bad, and you're basically like, well, he played on that defense, he must not be very good.
Yeah.
If I knew who that scout was, I'd call him into my office right now, and I'd rip his scout badge off of his lapel. I'd say, give that back.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To me.
All right, for those of you who haven't played the game, for those of you who haven't played the game, you wouldn't know which quarterbacks we've done already, and obviously the Texans have drafted a few quarterbacks, but going back 10-plus years, this will be an easy one for you, Sean.
Okay.
But let's play devil's advocate.
I'll let it marinate for the audience, no worries.
He's got high-level NFL accuracy and NFL vision. I think he understands the game so well and gets it out under 3 seconds. He has a very high football IQ.
Okay.
So given what you know, I think you're going to get this.
Given what I know, given who we've touched upon in this process, that's obviously Tom Savage. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
That's got to be CJ right there.
That's
right?
CJ, yeah. Most of the negatives were all about the S2 cognition test.
Mm.
There were people saying that's a no-go, that you just can't do it. There were some really nasty that I don't even like revisiting all the S2 nonsense.
Right.
All these dudes who had just found out what the S2 cognition test even was were naming it as an absolute no-go, that it's a barrier to ever making it in the NFL.
CJ Stroud off their board like he robbed a liquor store the day of the draft.
Right. So to read some non-anonymous quotes, Ryan Day expressed his shock that Stroud's cognitive abilities were being questioned. This is Ryan Day. And look, a college coach is going to stick up for his player,
sure,
but I think it's notable the way Ryan Day said it. I just feel like this is one that I've always felt was what makes him special. For this to be something that's a topic of conversation right now is catching me off guard.
Yeah.
And I think that if you think about all the various Ohio State quarterbacks that he's had, that CJ was the one that they're going to be like, oh, I don't know if he's got a good football IQ or anything.
Yeah.
Like CJ was the most advanced out of any of the more notable guys. And the other thing about the S2 cognition test was people kept framing it like it was an IQ test of some sort.
Yeah.
When it's way more about your the way you visually process things.
Reacting.
And all of those. And even the S2 cognition test guy at the time was saying, well, no, some of these tests we're not sure. Because of the circumstances we gave the tests out, they weren't valid. And it took a full year for people to kind of go back and look at that and say, oh yeah, he did say that at the time, didn't he?
Okay,
yeah.
We are into our second draft cycle since CJ Stroud was drafted, right? Last year, yeah. 2024, now this year, 2025. Have you seen anything anywhere about the S2 test since CJ's rookie year? I have
not. You know the funniest thing in going back and revisiting the S2 cognition test? What were we doing? We were calling S2 cognidiocy.
I don't remember. I like that though.
Yeah. The craziest thing about it was the people that had these conspiracy theories that the Texans put that info out there because they wanted CJ to drop in the draft, which was hilarious because the Carolina Panthers were one of the teams that actually subscribe to the S2 cognition results.
Yeah.
The Texans are not. That somehow it was the Texans were going to put this information out there so one of the teams that actually subscribes to the S2 cognition test would learn about it, and then that CJ Stroud would fall to the Texans.
At all two. Right,
that's brilliant conspiracy theory there, yeah.
That the Texans are acting like a team that's picking at 10 when they're picking at 2. Yeah, it's just a lot of dumb people out there, man.
I don't think we did this one. Yeah. This is the one big one. I don't think we did this one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I'm wrong. This is a wide receiver drafted by the Texans.
Okay.
He's gone through a tremendous maturation process. The product he is right now, he's a pro. His commitment level is really strong. He'll do all the necessary things to maximize who he is. He's more like a third-round pick, but he can end up being a good number two receiver.
Oh, boy.
Let me give you one more.
Okay.
His Senior Bowl was average, but he looked pretty damn good at Pro Day. He has natural hands.
Is it... Man. Okay, I want to say Nico. Is it Nico?
It's Nico.
Okay.
Good job.
Thank you.
I probably shouldn't have said it was a big one.
No, that's okay. It's all right.
The fact that somebody was saying that he's probably a third rounder, but he could be a solid number two,
which is
a little bit of an underestimation, obviously.
But I think that was the narrative around him even 2 years into the league. You know, he didn't become a number one until he became a number one, you know?
The negative that I couldn't give you, because it involves a name, is he comes out and runs a 4.4, yet when he played, they passed the ball to number 8, Ronnie Bell, all the time. Bell looked like the best one by far. And they ran Collins on
I got to look up what's his name? Ronnie Bell?
Up the field routes. If he's that good, why didn't the coaches try to get the ball to him?
Okay, Ronnie Bell. Ronnie Bell is an American professional football wide receiver for the Detroit Lions of the National Football League.
I think he started off with San Francisco, if I remember correctly.
Did he? Okay,
right?
Yeah, let's see here. Yeah, good call. He was drafted in the 7th round by the 49ers.
Yeah, I think the thing with Nico was that he sat out the COVID year.
Yes.
I mean, that was the big thing.
Yep.
So where that was a little bit of a stretch for Nick going out on a limb, kind of projecting some of those COVID guys.
Yeah.
I think Davis Mills kind of maybe fell into that where, all right, look, he hasn't played as much football as we'd like him to have played. Because remember, Stanford played even fewer games than the other teams did. So it worked out, obviously, with Nico Collins.
All right, Cam Smith, I want to circle back to Cam Smith. We're going to talk to Heidi Watney at the top of the hour. Cam Smith's first big day, his interview with Julia Morales after the game was excellent. How big a story was Cam Smith on opening day for the Astros for you? We'll hit that coming up next.